Independent weekly newspapers were on the cutting edge of the cultural and political movements of the 60s and 70s. Their founders wanted to offer an alternative to the corporate-owned mainstream media. But many of those small weeklies have grown up, and by one contention, have become stifling monopolies themselves. Two chains of alternative weeklies are now the subject of an antitrust investigation by the Justice Department. NPR's Laura Seidel has more.
Back in the 70s, Tim Redman was a reporter for the Hartford Courant in Connecticut.
There was a Courant reporter covering every town plan and zoning commission meeting in every single little town in Connecticut, and there's a lot of them. And the Courant felt like it was their responsibility to do that and to pay for it.
But the Courant, like most other local newspapers, was bought out and became part of a large national chain that cut back on local coverage. Redman is now the executive editor of the San Francisco Bay Guardian, an alternative weekly paper founded in 1966.
Because in so many cities you had one non-competing daily newspaper owned by an out-of-town chain that was not providing the community with the kind of news that it needed, that's why the alternative press sprung up.
But the alternative newspapers have become chains themselves. Redman was disturbed by a deal made this October between two of the largest chains, Village Voice Media and New Times. The chains had competing papers in LA and Cleveland. Village Voice agreed to close its Cleveland weekly, and New Times agreed to close its LA paper.
So they divvied up the markets. Village Voice Media got Los Angeles, New Times got Cleveland. To me, and to a lot of the lawyers that we've talked to, this is almost a classic case of anti-competitive behavior under the Sherman and Clayton Antitrust Acts.
In fact, the U.S. Justice Department has initiated an investigation into the deal. The department isn't commenting right now, but Steve Newborn, an antitrust attorney with Clifford Chance in Washington, D.C., says it looks like a clear antitrust violation.
It was very public what they did, and my only feeling is they could not have had any antitrust advice.
Newborn thinks the big question for the Justice Department is what impact will the deal have on consumers, suppliers, and advertisers.
The most common anti-competitive effect, when they do exist, is that pricing will increase. And it doesn't mean pricing to consumers like you and I, because these papers are free. It means pricing to advertisers in this instance.
Anyone looking through the ads of an alternative weekly might think the Justice Department is setting out to protect the adult entertainment industry. But there are just as many ads for local nightclubs, restaurants, and retailers. CD Trader, a small shop in a Los Angeles strip mall, sells and trades new and used CDs. Its owner, Steve Cowan, says he can't afford to advertise in the mainstream paper, the LA Times. So his best and now only outlet is the LA Weekly. Like many merchants, he figures without competition from New Times, rates will go up. But Cowan will pay anyway.
The LA Weekly actually is really the only broad-based advertising source that I can really go to that can assure me that however many 100,000 people are going to be able to see it.
Right now, no one at Village Voice Media and New Times will talk about their deal because of the Justice Department investigation. But Richard Karpel of the Association of Alternative Newsweeklies says there weren't enough advertising dollars to sustain two alternative weeklies in L.A. and Cleveland. And he says these two companies really can't be compared to big media chains like Knight Ridder or Gannett.
New Times now owns 11 papers, but it's still run by the same guys who started the Phoenix New Times straight out of college in 1970. Village Voice is run, it's a company with six newspapers run by the guy who used to be the editor of the Village Voice. So most of the alternative papers are still independent businesses.
In fact, the interest of the Justice Department in this case surprises some observers, like Thomas Kunkel. Kunkel is dean of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland.
Anyone who was looking at the Justice Department's attitude toward this sort of transaction in the near past might wonder what the fuss is about.
After all, the Justice Department didn't seem terribly disturbed as cities around the country became one newspaper town, says Kunkel. Still, antitrust attorneys say that if the two alternative chains divided up markets, it is a pretty flagrant violation of the law. Experts believe the big question is whether the government will bring civil or criminal charges. Civil action could result in as much as $10 million in fines for each of the companies. But if the government goes with criminal charges, alternative weekly executives could end up doing jail time, and it won't be for civil disobedience. Laura Seidel, NPR News.